Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Brian Wilkie speaking. And it's a pleasure again to meet with you to delve into God's Word together. Today our theme is Forever Being Reformed. Our reading from the Word of God is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, from chapter 12, verses 12 to 28. And here Paul speaks about the church, the community of God's people, as being like a body. He says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts of the body that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those who have gifts of healing, those able to help others, and those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kind of tongues." Now, would you listen with me to Jamie Grace as she puts into song God's invitation to come unto me.
I had a dream I was standing on the shore, 2 feet planted in the sand, soaking up your glory, yeah. Saw you walking from a distance, without a hint of resistance. You had your arms open and a warmth in your eyes. You took my hand and you whispered,
Many churches will shortly be celebrating Reformation Sunday, marking a dramatic part of the history of the world and the church, when many problems in the body of Christ were addressed head-on and the church was reformed. It's been a long time since my seminary studies, when the whole history of the people of God in the time of the Reformation was taught to me. It was fresh in my mind then about all those people who sought to bring new health and vigor to the church. And my Latin grammar may be weak, and my command of Latin has never been that great, but I frequently call to mind a slogan of the Reformation. It was Semper Reformanda. It meant always to be reformed. The body of Christ is constantly in need of repair, renewal, and reformation. We have a church scattered throughout the world that everywhere needs reform. You may look at particular problems in one denomination or another. You may see points in history when the church is stronger and healthier than others. But there's no doubt that the church needs to be reformed. In fact, the church is a church of transformation. It's a church, it's a body of people, each of whom individually are being reformed. And it's a body of people whose relationships are being reformed. And it's a body of people whose relationship to the world is being reformed. Jesus calls us, even as Paul puts it in the book of Romans, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices for spiritual transformation, to be transformed by Christ rather than being conformed to the world. But the church is always under pressure to conform. The church is always under pressure to change, to meet the modern day. And yet God calls us to be transformed and be transforming. There's a lovely song that I'm going to share with you now from Carolyn Aaron's album, Under the Gaze. She's a Canadian Christian songwriter, and she's written this beautiful song about the beauty and the troubles of the church. She's written the song Any Given Sunday. Let's listen to that now. Thank you.
Just as we are, we go. In those holy moments, every heart that's tender joins with those around the world, loving all the sun. Is there some everlasting song that sings of every time we long? We can come and join the throng on any given Sunday. Yeah.
Sometimes you look at the church and you think the church is a mess. And you know what? Very often it is. But sometimes it's not messy enough. I had the privilege of preaching at a church in Ottawa. It was Calvin Christian Reformed Church. And they had just finished a set of renovations on their building. It was beautiful. It was a few years ago. I don't know quite what it looks like now. But at that time, I spoke to them on a message about the need to have a messy church. Because as beautiful as their new renovations were, I know they were looking forward to having people use that building for the glory of God. There was a beautiful section that I believe had a fireplace and some comfortable chairs for gathering around in close fellowship and enjoying each other's company and no doubt studying the Word of God and discussing how God was working in each person's life. It was beautiful that day. The carpet was absolutely new. The sofas were unworn, and the fireplace was completely clean. And yet, I thought I was really looking forward to the day when there were coffee stains on the carpet, because there had been people there. When there might have been a bit of traffic and wear on the carpet, because people were spending time there. When the couches were used. Well, isn't it great when the church is a mess? I was a janitor, worked for a couple of summers in my home church as a janitor way back, well over 30 years ago, maybe. And at that time, I remember the joy I had in waxing the floor. Now, to tell the truth, I still look back on those days sometimes when I'm in ministry and think, isn't it nice to have a job where you can go and you can find a mess? And you can spend a couple of hours and you can clean it up, and when you're done, the place looks different. It's different than that in pastoral ministry sometimes. The problems don't always clean up so easily. But think about that floor that I was scrubbing in the gymnasium. Were there shoe marks because somebody had worn black soles on the floor while playing a game? Oh well, there were people in the church. And I knew it was the youth group of which I was a part at the time. And that youth group was spending time getting to know God and His love. And if they made a bit of a mess, well, I just thank God that there was a message there among the mess. And in the parlor, there would often be tea spilled onto the carpet. It meant that the ladies of the church had been meeting, or the seniors' club. It wasn't usually the youth drinking tea, but there were people in that church, and they were gathering together to know God more and to encourage one another, to spur one another on to love and good works. What a beautiful thing when the church is a mess. I remember being approached by a pastor. I believe it was Eric Deschamps, who was at the time at City Church in Vanier. And we had just enjoyed worship at his church. He had preached a wonderful message. And he came to me at the end of the service, and he opened his hand and he showed me a crack pipe. And it had been a crack pipe that someone had turned in at the altar call, someone who had decided to follow Jesus and was making a break from their life of addiction. He looked at me with his look, and I don't remember his exact words, but they certainly included the idea of, well, just praising God for this wonderful moment in a person's life. And also the question, what on earth do I do with this? What a mess the church can be. But isn't it wonderful when the church is meeting the mess of the world and bringing the message of Christ to it. I know that the church needs reform. Sometimes because we've gotten so cleaned up, we don't want to deal with the mess of the world anymore. Or we've lost faith that the message of Christ can deal with that mess in the world. The church sometimes falls into a dead orthodoxy, a correct doctrine, but no passion or mission. The other side is the church can sometimes fall into a vague pleasantness, just being a nice place for friends to hang out, rather than being a mission outpost for the world. Neither extreme is right, and from these two extremes, the church constantly needs reform. I believe it was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, who first told the story of the life rescue station on a coastline, where many ships were shipwrecked on that coastline, and so a rescue station had been put on that beach in order to bring the shipwreck survivors in and to bring them back to health and warm them up and give them the care they needed. And those people who had been rescued would gather in that rescue station and they'd celebrate the gift of life they'd received. But over time, they got so busy celebrating their rescue and so in love with their rescue station that they forgot about the ships shipwrecked outside. And when they did go and bring in those stragglers and survivors, there would be people complaining about the mess on the floor and the chairs being wet and sodden. And they decided to stop doing rescue anymore because it just created too much mess. And so some of those people left that rescue station and formed another rescue station that was focused again on the needs of the lost. But again, that church went through the same transformation, and rescue station after rescue station was formed, trying to recall the original message, the original reason for the rescue stations being in existence. That's what the church constantly needs. Not more rescue stations, but for each rescue station to come back to its original purpose. The most exciting mission that I've seen in the modern day is the idea of the missional church. The idea that the church needs to reclaim its mission more than anything else, needs to see who Christ is, what he came for, and what he wants his body to do in the world. Reform of the church is not about finding some new modern form. Reform in the church is actually going back to the biblical form. It's the body of Christ finding health again. I want to turn to these scriptures that I've read earlier when Paul describes the body. You know that your body is constantly renewing its health. It's constantly cleaning up the toxins and the poisons that are part of living. It's constantly repairing damaged cells. The body of Christ is made up of many different parts, Paul says. But it's one. It's very much like a human body, like an animal body. Each part needs each other. And whenever the connections between those parts become distant, whenever one part stops taking its place amongst the others, that body needs new health, needs new life. And God has given us what we need to reform the church. Paul speaks about the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the workers of miracles and those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Each of these gifts and the many gifts that are outlined in the church, in the Bible, are part of the church's work as a body. And using those things that God has given to bring new life to the church is absolutely necessary. Are we really devoting ourselves to the Word of God like they did in the book of Acts? Are we listening to those teachers that are soundly based in the Word of God, in the Bible? Are we listening to the leadership that is pointing us to the needs of the lost? Are we are we encouraging those who have the gift of helping others to both strengthen the body so that those who are in need in the midst of our fellowship are getting the help they need? And are we also helping those to go out into the world to help the needy, to show the love of Christ? I'm really pleased that Paul mentions the gift of administration. It's a gift I'd love to have, and a gift that many churches really need. I've heard so many complaints about organized religion, but I really think they boil down to a complaint against disorganized religion. Disorganized religion, to me, is when the body of Christ isn't organized to do the things God wants us to do. When we're not arranged as the parts of the body so that we can reach out to the needy, to tell the gospel to those who haven't heard it, to embrace those who need the love of God. We've been so disorganized. We've been so distracted from our business. And yet we can reform. We can understand our purpose and we can live that purpose out. Because God has given us what we need to be the church. We don't need to chase after new forms, after some new ideas about God in order to make the church work. It's in fact a drift away from the firmly and surely revealed biblical account of who God is that takes the church off track. And it's a drift away from the Holy Spirit that causes the church to lose its passion. And these are things that were well known in the early church. When we look at the book of Acts, we see a church filled with the Spirit of God, devoted to the teaching of the disciples, studying the Word of God, deep in fellowship, enjoying all the benefits of being part of the body of Christ and sharing those benefits with the world around them. Those were days of amazing wonders that God accomplished, and yet God can still accomplish that in a reformed church today, in a church that knows the mind of Christ through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit. Do you want to be part of that kind of a church? How are you being reformed? How are you being transformed? Are you willing to let God make you one of the starters, one of the people who begins a reformation in the body of Christ, by allowing yourself to be transformed by the Word and Spirit of God? Would you pray with me? Loving God, we so much want to see your love go into the world. We see the need within your body for people who will stand up and follow you. Will you make us those people? Will you lead us into a deeper devotion? We pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you, listeners, for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. If you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0JG1W0. We will send you a receipt in income tax time. And tell others about this program and visit our website. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now to conclude our program, here is GLAD singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," a great Reformation hymn.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing.
We're not the right man on our side. Christ Jesus, it is He, the Lord of hosts, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win,
as we must win,
in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.